Hi, and welcome back to A Mama in Chile podcast. I'm your host, Tamsin. Thank you for listening. Get your slippers on, put the heating on if it's cold where you are, because it's absolutely freezing where I am. The rain is pattering down outside. It's beautiful, of course, when you're inside. I've got the heating on. I've got my hot cup of tea here. And today I'm going to be talking a bit about culture shock and the four different stages that you can find yourself in when you move abroad, especially when you're moving abroad permanently, in the long run at least. I absolutely went through these stages. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. When I moved to Chile, I was 26. I was just bored with my life. But looking back now, I realize I had a brilliant life. I was having a fantastic life. But then, of course, when you're in it, it's not the same, is it? And of course, I wanted to be with my boyfriend, my Chilean boyfriend. It was all very exotic for me. Chile was, in fact, a country that I'd never been to, didn't know much about. I'd read a couple of Isabel Allende novels, especially My Invented Country, and I loved Pablo Neruda's poetry. So there was a little bit of, you know, a little bit of culture, knowledge of culture, very little bit though. But I've never stepped foot in Chile or South America even, so it was all very new. And of course, for me, landing in Chile for the first time, it was just, I was buzzing with excitement. I saw myself as I was starting a new chapter in my life. I was leaving what I thought were my troubles behind. As hard as it was to leave my family and friends, for me it was just something I wanted to do, needed to do, and did it. And absolutely the first year of living in Chile was, I would say, that first stage of what the first stage in culture shock is the honeymoon stage, and I was totally in that. It was a brilliant year for me. I was very kind of blasé and naive, and I didn't really stop to look at the bigger picture. For me, it was just about having fun and meeting new interesting people and just making connections and friendships, and I did, and it was fantastic. And we traveled a little bit around Chile, and I got to know my new family. I got to know my boyfriend better. It was a very passionate year, I can tell you that. I mean, in terms of, you know, there were lots of ups and downs. God, I'm making this sound even worse. But you know what I mean. And then after the honeymoon stage, unfortunately, which they say is actually one of the most difficult stages of culture shock, it's kind of what they say is the frustration stage. You kind of start realizing, kind of reality sets in, you kind of get, and I remember very much waking up and thinking to myself, oh God, what have I done? What am I doing? What have I done? This is my life now. I'm across the ocean. I don't know how many thousands of miles away from home and familiarity. And this is all, I still don't feel like I fit in. 9 years on, I still don't feel like I fit in, but that's another story. And I guess it was hard. It was really hard. In that point in my life, I'd started a new job here in Santiago with Ernst & Young, an accountancy firm, which really, I know now, is not for me whatsoever. But anyway, it was my first job here, and I felt proud of you know, my achievements getting this, because it's not that easy to get a job here, especially not within the first. I arrived here in January, and I got the job in April after an interview in March. So I think it was, you know, I did pretty well, I think, and they helped me secure my visa here and get my first bank account. So, you know, many, many aspects, it was a positive experience, you know. But as the months went on working in this place, it really, not only was I in the frustration stage of the whole culture shock process, I was in a job that I did not like at all. It wasn't me, it wasn't who I was. I wasn't expressing my true self. I was working in an office with no natural light. There were no windows. It was everyone was in a little kind of what you call a little kiosk, and they were, you know, there'd be a girl next to me in a kiosk with a little, you know, divider, and she'd be messaging me on the company messaging service, and I'd think, what? Just talk to me. You know, there was no communication. It was all very cold. And there were some foreigners living there, working at Ernst & Young with me, and a Canadian and American. And I have to say, I thought that we would bond because we were foreigners. And no, it couldn't have been further from the truth. It was horrific, actually. The American girl was very cold. It was just not a nice atmosphere whatsoever. I remember not being, they'd go for coffee without me, things like that, little things. So on top of me not enjoying my job at all, I mean, I did have some fun times. It wasn't all that bad. There were some interesting projects I worked on. I worked on managing or helping to manage a women's network, professional women's network, and we'd get together for coffee once every 2 weeks and talk about that. So that was fun, but in a whole, it wasn't, and it made me sick. I got very sick. I would get terrible stomach upsets, and I could never really understand why, what was wrong, and I remember going to see a gastroenterologist and having all these exams, and I only realised that actually, it was the job that was making me sick, because as soon as I left, and I left, I quit the job, walked away, couldn't deal with it anymore. Sometimes you just have to pack it in. If it's affecting you so many ways, you just have to walk away from it. And so I did that. I remember crying to the lady in human resources, just telling her, I just can't go on here anymore. Because it got so bad, because on top of it, obviously, I was in that stage of just not really being very happy in Chile and wanting to go home and missing people and friends. And it was a really, really hard time of my life. Anyway, so I walked away from Ernst & Young and I never looked back. I never looked back. And it was probably one of the best decisions of my life, because instantly my stomach upsets disappeared. And I just felt like a new person. It was fantastic. I felt wonderful. And I got another job after that it was part-time. It was with a British company, so I could relate more to the people. I was surrounded by Brits, which was really nice. And that's where I was for the following year after I quit with Ernst & Young. And that was much, much easier for me. But anyway, so that's the frustration stage, which is really, really hard. I remember I got very depressed during that time of my life. And then the following stage after that, it's the adjustment stage. And things start to get a little lighter, a little bit more familiar, a little bit more comfortable. You start to accept your new surroundings, your environment. Navigation becomes easier. You start to make more solid connections with people. And you just acclimatize, really, to your new environment much better. And then finally, we have the acceptance stage. I would say the adjustment stage was probably, well, I would say it was around the times I got pregnant with my daughter. I felt I had a great pregnancy, in terms of my emotional well-being. I felt quite good actually throughout that first pregnancy. I would say that would be the adjustment stage, because I kind of felt more comfortable, was happier, and realised, well, you know, my daughter's going to be born here, so I might as well be positive about the whole experience. And then eventually you come into the acceptance stage. And this can take weeks, months, or years. For me, the acceptance stage, I'm not sure if I went through it or if I am going through it or if I have still to go through it. I would say that I have gone through it maybe in the last Yeah, no, I've definitely gone through the acceptance stage. I would say I went through that maybe a couple of years ago. And you just realize that this is where you are. You've got to make the best of it. If this is really where you're going to be staying and spending your life, this is where you're, especially if you're building a family where your children were born, then yeah, you have to kind of accept it, don't you? So that's what I did. So yes, those are the four stages of homesickness, of culture shock, which, yeah, it's a crazy journey, I can tell you. It's a crazy, crazy journey. And I still have moments. I still, to this day, 9 years on, I still have moments where I do kind of, especially when I go back home and I'm there for a short while. So it's like being on holidays, and you're not there in the long run, and you see things and you remember how nice things are, especially if you go back to England in the summer as opposed to the winter, and you see how beautiful everything is, green countryside and all of that, and those kind of things bring me down because it's not the same here. I mean, you have, obviously, Chile is a beautiful country, don't get me wrong, it really, really is. It's a very wild, rugged country. But it's very different. It's very different. You don't get those little picturesque little villages in England, and everything's so pretty, and the green endless fields, and the rolling hills, and the... Yeah, anyway, I could go on and on. But so here I am, and I'm happy, to be honest with you. I am very, very happy here now in Chile with my moments. And... yeah, I mean, what can I say about how I can advise people to kind of overcome homesickness? I would definitely say do as much as you can to make friends, whether it's if you're in a new country, try and find those support groups like that I did. For example, we've got the Discover Chile on Facebook, which is full of expats and new arrivals and people that have been here for many years, and just kind of connect. And also the English speaking mums on Chile as well, another group for mums. They really are a godsend. And also the Chile Spouses group on the Yahoo groups, fantastic groups, and they really help me. And there's many, many people in the same boat as you, people going through the very same emotions that you're going through. And when you and the worst thing is to go through it alone. So, if you're with a partner, talk to your partner about it. It's communication is key. Talking to your partner, building friendships, making friends, talking to people who are in the same situations, definitely, that I would say will help you in feeling better about your situation. Anyhow, I will leave you for now. Thank you for listening, and I hope you can tune in for the next episode. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.